There's just a certain feel to Christmas that I just really, really love. However, sometimes the memories of Christmas are even better than the actual reality of Christmas. You ever notice that? When I think of home, it's the memories and warmth, the aromas, and just really kind of being a safe place to be. A place you know that you belong. This is kind of the part of the journey that we all share. The place we call home. Whether you have good memories of home or maybe your memories are painful, maybe home wasn't that place that we all think it should be, we still have a sense of home, a place that we belong. There's a deep longing for that sense within all of us, whether we had a good home or not such a good home. There's some place to belong to. One thing about being human is that we're designed to be connected. We're not only designed to be connected to God, which is part of it, we're also designed to be connected to each other, too. Throughout the year, we've been looking at the narrative of the story of from creation all the way through Revelation throughout the year. All of the stories that we've heard throughout the year, especially in the Old Testament, pointed toward Jesus. And this is a Jesus who himself left home to come and find us as we search for home, to bring us home again. That was his mission. A scripture that I really love is Psalm 84 because it really talks about, and it's a picture of our search for home. Says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose heart are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty, and listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk in blameless. Lord God, blessed is the one who trusts in you." I love that. "Even the sparrow has found a home. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. How lovely is your dwelling place." This piece of poetry really talks about our longing for that place called home. Even though we go through life longing for this, things in day-to-day life sometimes say to us that we don't belong here, that we're just a visitor, that we're a guest, that we still haven't found our way home. I remember when I was about 8 years old, for some reason I was upset with my parents. I can't remember if it was my dad or my mom or both, but I was only 8 years old, and I decided to run away from home. I unfortunately, at 8 years old, decided to do this on the spur of the moment, so I really hadn't planned this out very well, like a lot of eight-year-olds. Anybody else ever run away from home? Yeah. I just remember it was a Saturday afternoon. I didn't take anything with me, and I just left. My dad didn't really make a big deal about it. He just wished me good luck. I ended up walking around the neighborhood for a while and finally ended up a few blocks away at the Edna Ferguson Public Library. I knew the library. My mom had taken me there many times. And there I found a book on fun science experiments for kids. I was even a geek then, I guess. and I started to read it. Pretty soon it was 6 o'clock and it was time for the library to close, and they kind of kicked me out. It was the end of the day. There was a bench, I remember, outside the public library, and I just kind of sat there and hung out. It was beginning to get kind of dark, and I really didn't have a plan for what I was going to do. Then I see my dad's family car coming up toward me. He pulled up, and he rolled down the window and asked me if I'd like to come home. I said, yeah. Despite my feeling that I didn't like home, that I didn't belong, I still longed for home. I was really fortunate because I grew up in a home that was safe. Many adults and children have really never felt home, but nevertheless, I'm sure have longed for that home that they know that was the right place, a safe place to be. Many adults today still are runaways. We're searching for something that we are not even certain of what that is. Alone, desperately searching. In this search, a lot of times relationships with other people can be difficult. People can mess you up while you're on this journey. It's a lot of times why we hear people say things like, God and I have our own relationship. I don't do this church thing. I really don't believe in organized religion. But what they're really saying is not that they don't like organized religion, it's that they don't like people. People have messed them up. People have gotten in their way. The Bible narrative that we've been on during 2013 has told us that we can't love God and not love people. Everything has said that. That if you actually connect to God, you actually need to connect to people. And that was really God's plan from the very beginning. We can look back where we started back at the very beginning of 2013 in Genesis, and that's kind of where this whole idea started. In Genesis, it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Man was hanging out in this garden paradise, probably all the beer he could drink, just having a good time chilling with God, enjoying his company. And God said, it's not good for man to be alone. Ephesians 2 says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You are no longer foreigners and strangers. Have you ever been an outsider at a meeting or an event? It's plain uncomfortable when you do that. You really don't feel like you fit in. You might not know the language or the vibe of the group, especially if it's something you're new to. I don't know how many of you have traveled abroad, but a lot of the same feeling. You travel abroad, you don't really fit in. Different cultures, different locations, different traditions, things like that. We are what Ephesians said is fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household. There's one place that no one's checking membership cards at the door. One place where you don't have to live up to the high standards of people. You don't have to be elite. There's one place that doesn't analyze your background, where have you been, to determine where you belong. You belong to the community that we call the church. The moment you enter into relationship with God, you become part of the family. Let me say that again. The moment you enter into relationship with God, you're part of this family, this community, this tribe. We're all brothers and sisters. They say you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. We're kind of all in this together. It says, in the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And him, and in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. It turns out that the longing that we've had to find home isn't just rooted in your need for people, it's rooted in your need for God. The church isn't a building, it's a place. It's God dwelling within us and within the people around us. That's what makes us home. God is our home. God is the home we've been searching for. And we also find him in each other as they've entered into relationship with God. Next month, as Matt mentioned, we're going to be getting into Hebrews. Hebrews 3 says, "Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the son over God's house, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and hope in which we glory." What is said was, we are his house. Individually and collectively, we are his house. We become the temple of God. We become what we know as the church. What we really need to do is really stop coming to church and really become a church. I know this sounds a little weird, but a lot of times we'll come to church and not really be part of the church. That's one of the things, you know, Adam was encouraging us to get to know each other, get to know one another. That's the church. It's not the building. We could go out in the parking lot, we go to the park and be church. Being part of the family, the community God, of God has attended. I meet people who say they go to this church 1 week and maybe go to another church next week. Maybe they're bouncing from church to church. It's really time for us to pull together into one church and be part of the church rather than just attending it, wherever that church might be, even if it's not here. When we act as a family, as God living within us, we move forward as a church. When Whitewater acts as God living within us as a family, we care more about each other and we care more about the people outside of these walls and in the community. A good example of that was when we had this giving tree that was sitting over here in the corner until last week. There were little notes on there that gave you an opportunity to serve people outside of these four walls and some people within these four walls, people in need. That was wonderful we were able to do that here during December. I hope we can do that the other 11 months of the year too. And I know we're doing it. Some people are doing it individually. It'd be nice if we could do it as that tribe, as that family. During the next quarter of the year in 2014, the teaching plan and the leadership within Whitewater has a goal of moving us forward to the next step. We've learned the narrative of God. The next step is, how are we going to put that into motion? How are we going to put it into action? How are we going to disciple people? How are we going to serve people? That's really kind of our next step as a church. We're a young church here at Whitewater. Many family members of this church have come and gone. I don't know what God has planned for us. We're really a very different group of individuals, somewhat of a dysfunctional family, I guess you could say, in our individual ways. But the neat thing is that we're a wonderful family when it comes to Jesus being part of it. It's really kind of neat because we have found our way home. Let's pray. Lord, many of us have really been searching for so long. Many are confused and even disillusioned by the idea of you and of church and of family. It's It's been so long, maybe never for many of us, to experience what we've all longed for. Home as you have made perfect. Maybe we're not always in agreement, Lord. Maybe we're not always obedient to your will, but perfect in the way that you have brought us together as a family, as a tribe, as your home and your church. Help those who search for you and search for home, hope that they see you and find you. We love you and we long for you, Lord. Help us to see you in the people around us, our family, in your home, Lord. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Normally, Matt ends the teaching each week by saying grace and peace. And those of you that have been around churches for a long time, especially the formal churches, know that this is called a benediction. Benediction is just a fancy way of saying it's a short blessing when you're done. And Matt has a way of always saying grace and peace, and he's wishing that blessing upon everybody. After Lynn and I first got married, we actually attended a Lutheran church, believe it or not, yeah. And one of the neatest things that I brought away with it was their benediction they used to use. And I don't know if all Lutheran churches do or just certain parts of it, but I'd like to leave you with this benediction. And it actually comes from the Book of Numbers. Many of you maybe have heard it before, but I'll leave this as our benediction today. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.